After the death of Charles the Bald, the influence of the Carolingians rapidly declined. Monasteries tried to preserve the past while the Normans, Saracens, and Hungarians began to invade the empire. Popes were being created or assassinated as needs be, and it was not until 962 AD that the House of Saxony, with Otto, would bring a measure of peace to the empire. Most of the time was more of a consolation than a true peace, and all of the successors of Otto's empire, Otto III, Gerbert of Aureliac, Conrad II, Leo IX, did not steadily set up peace through the world. In spite of the doctors of the age, theological and literary activity did not entirely die out. Many monastic centers and cathedral schools continued to uphold the teachings they had been given, though original thought was clearly lacking. The most significant theological works of the day were the Treatise on the Body and the Blood of the Lord by Guizzo of Torntona, and the Treatise on the Antichrist by Adso of Luxeuil. Also notable is the Commentaries on St. Paul by Atto of Verceil. When the 11th century began to emerge, certain flickers of hope also came to light. A scholar named Gerbert of Aureliac, under the title of Sylvester II, occupied the Roman see. His disciple, Fulbert of Chartres, was known all over the empire for his writings on the relationship of faith and reason, and the nature of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The Roman doctrine of transubstantiation would gain momentum from Fulbert's idea that the infusion of righteousness from Christ is given at the sacrament. Fulbert's disciple, Berengar of Tours, took a different turn than that of his teacher. He taught that the image of God in man was reason, and that using this reason, something every man should do, they should know full well that the bread and wine do not change, and that the claim that the body and blood of Christ, which was born of the Virgin Mary, is physically present on the altar, as being nonsense. Accidents cannot be separated from the substances in which they exist. Thus, the bread and the wine cannot simply look like bread and wine and be something else. Berengar also did not believe that the Eucharist was a memorial of Christ's sacrifice. He did believe that communion was efficacious, and that the elements became sacraments. Lefranc wrote against Berengar and contested that the body and blood of Christ were contained in the Eucharist. Berengar was condemned as a heretic and put to death for his views. Though the Eucharist controversy would not become official until 1251 AD as Roman dogma, the actual controversy over the issue took place during this time period.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves, would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.